Day 4, Track 1 of the Overnightscape Underground. Hello, everybody. It's the start of a brand new day, Day 4, here on the Overnightscape Underground. So that means we're starting hour 73? Yeah, right? Yeah. Wow. Yes, welcome to Day 4. I am your host, Frank Edward Nora. And Day 4 is officially designated summer 2008. And right now, it is Sunday, July 6th, 2008, as I am recording this. Up there, above us in the regular Overnightscape, episode 719 is the current episode that is out, just to give you a little equivalency. So, got a lot of great stuff coming up on the Overnightscape Underground tonight, or today, whatever you want to say. Basically, in the past month, less than a month, I've been doing a lot of recording in New York City. So, pretty much I have the whole day almost done, basically, if you want to say so. I mean, it's kind of strange, but I'll let you know what's coming up. But, yeah, 19 hours and 47 minutes are already taken up, have the files all ready to go. So, I think it's some good stuff. I think you're going to enjoy it. Now, of course, on day one of the Overnightscape Underground, there's a much more of a variety of the content. And day one was sort of a proof of concept, you may want to say, or a template that I really wanted to put examples of all the different kind of stuff that I would eventually be putting here in the Overnightscape Underground. But, you know, as circumstances have happened, things have, you know, I have a lot of material, and I've just been inspired to create a lot of field trips and things like that. So I just want to let you know, all that other kind of stuff will be back. Of course, the idea of the Overnightscape Underground is that it's a never-ending plane of audio, you know. It just keeps going and going. And it's random access, obviously. You can listen to any track you want at any time. I'm sure some people are listening to the whole thing sequentially, but you don't have to. You can... What's that noise? Is that my wife's cell phone beeping? I don't know. Yes, you can listen in any order you like. And as time goes on, this is going to become a bigger and bigger and bigger collection of audio. Now, the Overnightscape itself is nearing 26 days of audio itself. So who knows if the Underground will catch up at some point. I guess the big, look at this. If it's 26, 27, yeah. We're getting close to the point where if you take the Overnightscape and the Overnightscape Underground, it's equal to a month of audio. We're getting close to that. I mean, obviously 28 days could be considered a month of February, but I don't know. I think I should wait till I get to 31 days before I declare it a month. But we're getting there, though. It's interesting because the Overnightscape Underground is originally sort of conceived of as a show, it's a podcast or whatever, you know, word you want to use, where each episode is 24 hours long. And it sort of is like that, right? It kind of is like that. I have so much material I want to get on here that I'm going to have to start to produce these more and more, faster and faster, etc. Let's take a look at the logo I created for day 4. I was a little over the course of the weeks looking at the logo for day 3. I was a little, let's say, I don't know if you want to say, not really disappointed, but I kind of didn't like it as much as it could have been. It maybe wasn't as good as it could have been. Let me just go take a look at all four of them together. Talk about the artwork for the Overnightscape Underground. I don't know if you're listening or you're using a system where you can actually see the artwork, but you could if you have an iPod or something. Day one of the Overnightscape Underground was that sort of nighttime shot of the street and these lights and stuff. The logo, as I think I probably should have kept it, is a black and white ONSUG logo, kind of really pixelated. Day two, I decided to get a little wacky. I had that image from Halifax, Nova Scotia, and I changed the color scheme around a little bit, made orange letters, and, you know, it was okay, but, you know, I think I'm going to stick with the black and white from now on. Then day three, kind of lowered the contrast a little bit, which I think was part of the problem. Shading within the black portion of it, a blue to black, and sort of an image of a strip mall. And that logo, I think ultimately, I mean, I'm not going to change it or anything. I want to move away from that. So day four here, very simple. And it is basically back to the black and white ONSUG logo. And just a yellow background. No images or anything. And the font I use there is this font called Gentium. And it's a sort of an open source font. And I don't know. I think it's just you know, a little bit of a different take on the logo. I also added the words come inside ... above the ONSUG. I just sort of inspiration struck, I think, on the day I was designing that logo, that it should sort of be this idea you can come inside this world of the Overnightscape Underground, right? And begin exploring. So I'm going to keep that in there. So, you know, this is just another piece of art. You know, the next one could be different. But I do think that it's important to keep it black and white. I think that sort of was my original intention. And it just looks a lot better that way. So I kind of like it. It's sort of an inspiration struck, and I made it. And it is yellow. I thought it was was it yellowish or orangish? It should be just yellow, but it looks more orangish. Whatever it is. I don't care. It's something that, you know, like, a lot of these things, you know, you'll be struck with inspiration and you'll work on something and then it just works and you use it. So, I mean, obviously, the Overnightscape Underground is more of an audio thing, but, you know, it's sort of the visual anchor on the website for the different days. So that is the explanation of that. I also want to talk about kind of an exciting development. I have finally gotten days 1, 2, and 3 onto archive.org. This is a website that is preserving content. It says Universal Access to Human Knowledge. And it's the Internet Archive at archive.org. And, you know, more and more as we move into the future, there could be a lot of restrictions about a lot of copyright stuff and everything. And I'm really making it clear that this work is a Creative Commons license, and it is free to copy and is free to distribute in non-commercial ways, etc. Some of the tracks, as you know, on the Overnightscape Underground, some tracks are Creative Commons, the various different types of Creative Commons. Some of them are public domain, each one individually. More on like day one, there was more a real mix. Most of the stuff I do, I just use a Creative Commons standard license. No commercial, no derivatives, just because it's easier that way. But you can copy it and preserve it and archive it and do everything with it. Except make derivatives and whatever. If you want to do anything beyond the license I have in there, I'm sure you can just contact me. I'm sure you can. I'll give you permission to do it. It's just, you know, it's just a good license for me for now. And I'm going to be releasing the regular Overnightscape sort of similar to this in the future. In fact, the next episode of the Overnightscape is 720, which I have scheduled for release this coming Tuesday, is going to bring the Overnightscape up to the same audio quality level as the Overnightscape Underground here, 128k bits per second. That used to be kind of the standard for music in MP3. As time went on, people kind of felt that 192 was more appropriate for music. But, you know, what I do here is mostly talk. And there is some music, but I think 128 is a good place to be for the audio. The music, and I think a 128 audio for music is fine. So the Overnightscape will be that as well. And then I'm going to be releasing the Overnightscape in a similar way to the Underground, in sort of in blocks. Like in this case, the Overnightscape Underground each day is 24 hours. For the Overnightscape itself, I'm going to be releasing seasons. Right, so each season, like starting with spring 2003, summer 2003, you know, then, you know, winter 2006, you know, like, and so far there's been 21 seasons, and now we're in the 22nd, which is the summer of 2008. So those will probably wind up being, some of them will be, obviously each season is going to have a different length, but probably some of them will be 40 to 50 hour range of audio, which I think is fine. I don't think that's excessive. I mean, it's a lot, but I don't think it's going to break the bank, so to speak. I think it'll work out. And you know, the zipped versions will certainly be under 4 gigabytes. I know 4 gigabytes is kind of a weird thing. Some file systems don't like anything with 4 gigabytes. I don't think the biggest days I think so far that I've seen were like 2.2 gigs uncompressed. You know, just MP3s, not zipped. You don't really save much on the zip because the MP3 is already super compressed. So that's what's going on there. So day 1, 2, and 3, they're all on archive.org. If you go to archive.org and just type a search for ONSUG, O-N-S-U-G, and O-N-S-U-G, oh, and I should say, I always forget this, The Overnightscape Underground can be found at, you can go to theovernightscape.com and click on Underground, or the specialized website is, the specific website for Overnightscape Underground is ONSUG.com, O-N-S-U-G.com, stands for Overnightscape Underground. You can also type theovernightscapeunderground.com or overnightscapeunderground.com, and they all will take you to the same place. Just so you know. But ONSUG.com is the main site. I want to read to you, I wrote a new introduction to the Overnightscape Underground. This actually may be good for you if this is the first thing you're ever hearing by me. It could be. This could be you've never heard anything I've recorded before. Just to let you know, the Overnightscape itself, I think I mentioned, is at over 25, almost 26 days worth of audio. That's 615 hours. A lot of stuff. I've been doing it over 5 years now. And all of it's available right now to check out. But I'm going to be making this, getting it all on the archive in a much easier form, higher audio quality, etc. Here comes Mr. Jesse the Cat. Jesse. Okay. Here is my introduction that I wrote. Explore the mysteries and pleasures of life in this never-ending late-night broadcast. The same is on each of these. So this is the Overnightscape Underground, day 3. Explore the mysteries and pleasures of life in this never-ending late-night broadcast. Join host Frank Edward Nora on a rambling, freewheeling monologue about coffee, time travel, candy, conspiracies, mass transit, whiskey, childhood memories, vegetarianism, Walt Disney World, popcorn, pop culture, cigars, Star Wars, video games, history, New York City, New Jersey, and the indulgences, triumphs, and disasters of the human experience, and a whole lot more. Tracks are licensed individually with Creative Commons or public domain licenses. The Overnightscape Underground, ONSUG.com, is the deeper, darker realm of the main show, The Overnightscape, TheOvernightScape.com. So, there you have it. Hey, Jesse. Here's Mr. Jesse the Cat. Oh, yeah, I need to feed them. It's almost 8 o'clock. They get their food at 8 o'clock. All right, Jesse, once I'm done recording, you can have it. Maybe I should go feed them now, and then because I do have a couple food reviews to do here, and one that I need to review now because Jesse's been chewing on it. Right, Jesse? You've been chewing on a Frito bag? Yes. So anyway, that's the introduction I gave on there. So I'm really looking at really trying to keep this stuff, like, seriously, I want this stuff to be preserved for the future. So you may be listening to this in the far future. And I do believe, I know a lot of people these days are talking about a lot of doom, you know, doom and gloom. December 12th, 2012, man, it's the end of the world, you know. People think the world's going to blow up or there's going to be a rapture and everything's going to... Look, I don't think so, okay? Because a part of my motivation for doing the Overnight Escape and the Overnight Escape Underground is I really like the idea that people are listening in the future. Because it really increases my audience, you know? Because, like, you know, hey, maybe... Because right now with my show, I'd estimate between somewhere around 1,000 to 2,000 people are listening on a regular basis to the Overnightscape. Based on the downloads and the stats. Look, Mr. Jesse's using the mouse again. Right? So it's a decent number of people. It's not really, like... Compared to, like, a mass media thing, which has millions of audience, it's really not that big. But if you take that now and expand it into the future, right, that these shows can now exist into the future for hundreds or even, let's say, thousands of years, hopefully, the audience then increases. So then we can say if you measured it over, you know, a thousand years from now, the year, what would that be? The year 3008, right? Like, literally, the audience could grow into the millions, right? Not that I would necessarily know. You know what I mean? I don't think I'm going to live for 1,000 years. I mean, I mean, obviously, I believe we all live forever, but we don't stay in one form like that. We don't, you know. That's sort of the human plan, you know. You only live for X number of years, you know. Well, they said in the old days you could live to 800-900, which that sounds kind of rough, but you know, 120 is about the limit here, you know. A couple people got past 120, you know. I think 123 is like the oldest anyone's ever really confirmed being in the modern age. What they say, like in the Bible, right? They said people used to live to 800-900 years old. Whatever, but no one lives forever. So living to 1,000, I don't know. But, you know, with reincarnation and stuff, you get you become a fresh new person, you know? And a lot of the negative stuff from that, the life before, is kind of mostly swept away. Then you can start fresh and continue on with stuff. So, I mean, I could even be listening to this in the future in a whole nother self and not even realize that this was me. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of cool, right? I'll be listening. It's like, yeah, oh, you know, I'm a fan of this thing from 200 years ago called the Overnightscape. And like, yeah, but you don't know. That's you. Like, that's me. Like, I don't know. I don't know, man. It's possible. I always talk about cosmic things, man. Been getting very cosmic on the show lately. As you'll see, I do talk about a lot of cosmic stuff on the some of the segments upcoming. Like editing reality. Even I know on day three I had that edit dreams in the heat wave segment where I had those dreams about editing reality, man. It's you know, interesting concepts. But I do believe that the world will keep going. I don't see why it shouldn't keep going. There's just too much good stuff, I think, for it to crash out and disappear and whatever. Obviously, there's this concept that there's branching, there's different possibilities. So I'm sure if you imagine the future branching out, right, some of the side exit leads to some kind of like destructions, or 2012 is the end, or raptures, or whatever. But some of those pathways are like, just keeps on going, you know what I mean? Like, 2012 comes around, nothing happens. Just keeps on going to 2013. You know what I mean? Just keeps on going. Right? And I know we have these, like, it seems like there's all these awful things going on in the world, like the Illuminati or these secret organizations are trying to destroy the world or take it over or kill the population and, you know, like all these different plans and stuff. But you know what? There's been a lot of nasty stuff. Look back in history of, well, the history that we're told is history. I'm sure a lot of it's lies, but a lot of bad stuff. A lot of people lived in times where it must have seemed like the world was ending all the time. But anyway, so archive.org is one aspect of this thing. I'm hoping that through this website, as one of several means of carrying into the future. I mean, as far as disk storage goes, I mean, we're talking about, you know, each day here is like, what, 1.4 gigabytes or something like that. I mean, you know what I mean? It's like really not that much these days. So, I mean, I think you're talking, I mean, right now, I don't even know. I would imagine that everything I have could fit under 100 gigabytes. And every day, the price of storage is going down, down, down. They're saying they're going to have within about a year and a half or so, they're saying they're going to have, or 2 years, they're going to have a 5 terabyte drive you can buy, you know, just a little one. You know what I'm saying? So, it's very, very exciting to think about. And also being able to produce this amount of material and get it going in the future. I actually just listened to one of my old episodes of The Overnightscape, and I discussed it on The Overnightscape 720, which is coming up. I don't know. I may actually release this. I may start day four like today. I don't know. Because everything's ready to go. You know? I don't know. But yeah, I listened to, I think it was, what, episode 147 of The Overnightscape from back in March of 2005, I think. Was it? Yeah. Yeah. Was it March? Yeah, it was March of 2005. And I listened to the whole thing. I had a great time listening to it, so I believe in the quality of The Overnightscape, and It's growing bigger and bigger all the time. And I don't know. It's very nice. So let me take a quick break. I'm going to go feed the cats, and I'll come back with my reviewing a couple of food items. I'm a little hungry. I could use a little food. And this one Fritos bag that Mr. Jesse the cat has been chewing apart. Hopefully it's still okay to eat. Not too much cat saliva on it, hopefully. Anyway, one moment here. Yes, I fed the cats. They got their little salmon food thingy. The cats, I'm vegetarian, the cats are not vegetarian. It is possible to have vegetarian cats, they say, but, wait, hold on, I got it. No, I wanted to partially close the door. Yeah, it is possible to have vegetarian cats, but, I don't know. It seems like a lot of hassle, and I don't know if it's really healthy for them. I don't know. Anyway, let us celebrate the beginning of day 4 here of the Overnight Escape Underground with some food reviews. Here's something I found at 7-Eleven. It is the Snickers AM Baked Breakfast Bar. Okay. They're making so many different kinds of Snickers everything. I guess they're really... I don't know what you say, like really exploiting the brand. Distributed by Mars Snack Food US LLC. They keep changing the name of it. Is it M&M Mars? Now it's just Mars? Great name for a candy. Named it after the God of War. You know what I mean? Isn't candy supposed to be a fun kind of, you know, frivolous thing? And it's like Mars is like the God of War. He's Ares. Like war, you know, like killing people, you know? Like really pretty bad. Anyway, this is the Snickers AM Baked Breakfast Bar. And it says, get going, stay going. TM, of course. No one else can say that now. No one else can say, get going, stay going. Great. Whole grain, roasted peanuts, chewy caramel, asterisk. What does that even go to? Contains 6 grams of whole grains per serving. So... do they actually, like, where do they make this? Mars, by the way, is located in New Jersey. Not the planet, the company. Look, Hackettstown, New Jersey. See, I guess they're calling, they used to be M&M Mars. That's interesting. But do they say where it's, they don't even say where this thing is made. Distributed by Mars. But is it like a, was it made in America? Or like, where is it made? They kind of don't even say. That's strange. Maybe this is like not labeled for individual sale. You know what I mean? How that works. They don't even have their website. They have like nothing on this packaging. Anyway, so this is the baked breakfast bar. Isn't baked? When I think of baked, I think like people that like smoke pot. Yo, man, I'm baked, man. I don't know. I guess the word baked can still just be a food. So Snickers AM, and the AM is like in this digital font, like a digital clock. Snickers AM. Let me try this out here. How many calories is in this thing, by the way? 220. Wow, that's a lot of calories. Opening it up now. Now, like how do you bake? Like, wouldn't like the whole thing melt if you baked like a Snickers bar? I don't know. Oh, okay, here we go. Hold on. It's like kind of like a granola bar kind of thing. Kind of a beige exterior. Not really malleable to the touch. Kind of hard with some like some oats kind of smashed in the top there. Kind of like a tire tracks on the bottom. And you can see inside kind of a mix, some peanuts and maybe some chocolate chips and some caramel kind of stuff. Let me just... Ah. Mmm. It's, what's the smell of it? It's a kind of an oat or bread kind of smell. And, the flavor, I mean, you get some chocolate and caramel kind of scents, but it is a bit bland overall. Hmm. strange, man. Like, they're really stretching the meaning of what a Snickers is. I mean, if someone gave this to me and said, what would you say this was? I'd be like, was this like a chocolate granola bar? Like, I would not think Snickers in a million years. Yeah. I don't know. This is pretty, pretty disappointing. I mean, it's not bad, you know. But rather uninspiring and rather un-Snickers-like, so. What else do you want to say? I don't know. Have some water. Mmm. Yeah. I don't know what I was expecting something more. I don't know. Snickerish. But at the 7-Eleven, they had these like in four different locations. There's three or four different locations. They're really pushing these, trying to get people to buy them. Very odd. This is distributed by Mars. Maybe they don't even make it. Maybe this is just like a chocolate breakfast bar that they just threw the Snickers name on. And that caramel was not chewy at all. There really was no chewy caramel. No. It wasn't chewy. I don't know what to say. It's a bit disappointing. What can you say? There you go. There it is. Yes. So, here we have this other thing. Wow, this is pretty... Unfortunately, this is a pretty messed up product here. We have the Fritos brand, limited edition, McGraw's Spicy Jalapeno, right? Flavored corn chips. Chips enlarged to show texture. And there's, I guess it's Tim McGraw, country music guy. I don't really know much about him. But guaranteed fresh until June 3rd. Yeah, you know, sometimes I take too long to review something. And this is the case with this. Tim, this is McGraw's Spicy Jalapeno. Introducing new Fritos, McGraw's Spicy Jalapeno Flavored Corn Chips. Same classic corn taste and hearty Fritos crunch you love, simply paired with a burst of jalapeno flavor. Who said delicious had to be complicated? No one? Like, no one said that. Yes, delicious is complicated. You know what they say? Delicious is complicated. No one ever said that. No one. And they even say this. Who said delicious has to be complicated? Okay, let me read you the ingredients, okay? They're saying, right, Frito-Lay is a company, right? Who said delicious had to be complicated? Let's see. Ingredients. Whole corn. Vegetable oil. Contains one or more of the following. Corn, soybean, and or sunflower oil. Spicy jalapeno seasoning, corn maltodextrins, salt, monosodium glutamate, whey powder, right? Was it whey or whey powder? Dextrose, spices including chili pepper, natural flavors including natural chili pepper flavor. Onion powder, sodium diacetate, okay? This is complicated. Sodium diacetate. The hell? What are they doing? An overhead projection with acetate over here? Sodium diacetate. Sugar. Sour cream, which contains cultured cream and non-fat milk. Modified cornstarch. Now, so regular cornstarch was not enough, right? That would have been simple, right? Hey, give me some cornstarch over here. I'll throw it in there. No, they had to modify it, okay? Modified cornstarch. Okay? What else here? Sunflower oil. Again, they have it in there twice. Okay. No, wait a second. This is not complicated? Garlic powder, jalapeno pepper powder, and artificial flavors, including artificial green pepper flavor. Jeez, man. Wow. That is a heavy list of ingredients. That is complicated. And here's it. Who said delicious had to be complicated? Fritos, so good, so simple. You know, these people are full of shit, basically, okay? These ingredients are not simple. I think, to be fair, I believe the original Fritos, like regular Fritos, I think do have very simple ingredients. But this stuff ain't simple, okay? So, Anyway, Mr. Jesse the Cat has been chewing on this bag. It was sitting in this review box here in the Nova Nightscape studio, and he kind of started chewing the bag. I think it's not that he really... I don't think he wants to eat Fritos. I think it's just he likes biting things and chewing on things, so... Let's see what the hell the state of these things is. It smells good, though. And, you know, I wouldn't have normally criticized the ingredients so much, but don't say it's simple and then have ingredients like that. Plus, this has been expired for over a month now, so... If it doesn't taste good, obviously, it's because of the state that it's in. But let me try one here. Yeah. Unfortunately, because the bag was open, probably some humidity got in there, and they're not as crunchy as they could be. But I don't think I'm going to eat all these because it's probably not a good idea. But the flavor is, from what I can tell, it tastes okay. You know, I do like my Fritos normally. These just give a little bit of a kick to it, a little bit of a spicy kick. It's all right. I mean, it's hard for me to... I mean, obviously, I have these now in a very bad shape, so, you know, they are good, but I think I'm going to throw them away because it's just like, you know, I mean, they don't have that snap. They're kind of, like, wet, moist. It's unfortunate, but hey, at least we're getting to it. Let me try to figure... I have to honestly say that... I know the name Tim McGraw, but I don't know what he looks like. I mean, there's a picture of him on here, but I don't really know anything about him. Tim McGraw. Samuel Timothy Tim McGraw. Born May 1st, 1967. Oh, look, he's near the same age I am. June, July, August, and October. Yeah, he's almost exactly 5 months older than me. I was born October 3rd, 67. Is an American country singer, with many of his albums and singles topping the country music charts. Tim has achieved total album sales in excess of 40 million units. So what are his trademark hits include Indian Outlaw, Don't Take the Girl, I Like It, I Love It. I don't know any of these songs. His wife is Faith Hill. Okay. I know what she looks like. I don't know her songs, though. Let's hear a Tim McGraw song. Maybe this must be good. I mean, because the guy got his own Fritos. I mean, the guy's got it. It's got to be a, you know. I would imagine the music. So what is it? Indian? What was that? Like, his big hit was Indian Outlaw. Indian Outlaw. Let's see if we can find this. I don't want any mashups. I don't want any. I just want the original song. Every time you go on YouTube, there's like mashups and everything. Here we go. Indian Outlaw Tim McGraw. Let's see. They said it's not a fake. This is real. Not fake. This is the real video. Hold on. Police. Here we go. So this is one of his big songs. I've never heard this song. But it could be like a fake. It could be like a mashup or something. Like, I don't know.
I'm an Indian outlaw.
What? Wait, I'm looking at the bag here and then looking at his face. It doesn't look like the same guy.
All my friends call me Bear Claw. Village chicken is my pawpaw. He gets his orders from my mama. She makes him walk the line. You can find me in my wigwam. I'll be beating on my tom-tom. Pull out the pipe and smoke your song.
He's an Indian outlaw. Wait, what were some of his other big hits?
I'm an Indian outlaw. Half Cherokee and Choctaw. My baby, she's a Chippewa. She's a one of a kind.
It's an alright song, I don't know. Wow, man. Have I been missing out on some good stuff here? I don't know. I wonder, do you think anyone complained about that song? Was it a little too stereotyping? I don't know. Sounded good to me. Tim McGraw, Don't Take the Girl. Oh, that has 1.3 million views. This has got to be a real song. The Binary Vixens present. No, please, no mashups.
I'm Tim McGraw. I see the music I want to hear on CMT.
Is that him? Because yeah, I guess that is him. He does not look familiar to me. What the hell is this mashup? Don't Take the Girl with Star Wars.
Johnny's daddy was taking him fishing. He was 8 years old.
Hey, he was eight. Like, how do you sing like that? Johnny's daddy. He was 8 years old. What is this one? It's Princess Amidala. Padme. So here's a mashup. Scenes from Star Wars.
Johnny's daddy was taking him fishing when he was 8 years old.
Everyone loves matching everything up. He was 8 years. All right, look, I'm not trashing his music. You know what I mean? It doesn't sound bad. I'm just not familiar with it. I do like some country music. I like more older music, you know. Older country music is a little bit better. But I'm sure this stuff is fine. I don't know. Let me see about if there's any controversy with the Indian Outlaw. Okay, of course. Controversy. Okay. The first single, Indian Outlaw, which was in 1994, caused considerable controversy as critics argued that it presented Native Americans in a patronizing way. Some radio stations refused to play it, but the controversy helped spur sales and the song became Tim McGraw's first top 10 country hit. Okay. People just got to calm down, okay? I mean, look, this guy just made a song. I mean, don't get all hung up about it, all right? Please. Everyone's getting hung up over everything. You know what I mean? Calm down, people. Okay. Anyway. So this is the guy. So look, they're probably pretty good. I just think it's, you know. I don't know. It's a shame I got to throw these out, but they're really just not, you know. They're way overdue and there's the cat was chewing it. You know what I mean? Sorry, Tim. Should I take a picture of it? It's limited, so I don't know. You gotta be a big star to have your own, like, chips, you know what I mean? Like, they're not gonna be going. Frito-Lay is not gonna say, hey, Frank, yeah, we love the underground. Can we do the underground Fritos flavor, you know? Like some sort of, you know, coffee spiced, coffee flavored chips, you know what I mean? Like, they're not gonna come to me. I'm not that famous. I shouldn't even use the word that. I should just say, I'm not famous. Okay? That's more. If I use the word that, that's even misleading. I'm not famous. Okay, I'm not like Tim McGraw. He's a superstar. He's an Indian outlaw. Yes. Maybe someday. Maybe like in the year 3008, they'll like Frito-Lay will posthumously, you know, the Overnightscape Underground Memorial Chips. Who knows? Ooh, yeah, I've been working my notes here for this. Anyway. Hello, we're still recording here. I actually did vacuum the bedroom before. You may remember on the Overnightscape, I resisted it last weekend, but I did it. Took about 10 minutes, I was done. You know, it felt good. As far as vacuuming in here, in the studio, I got to really clean this place up. This place is getting to be a mess again. This place is a mess. But over to my left, I have my two favorite things in the world, my synthesizer and my Frisbee. And, you know, nothing makes someone happier than a synthesizer and a Frisbee, so I just have it right over here. You know? And I look at them and I play with them sometimes, and, you know? I gotta play with the synthesizer more, but it's, you know, it's good. It's a great synthesizer. The Ziosynth can serve as a MIDI controller. And it's everything. You know what I mean? Everything is good. Excuse me. Sorry. That's disgusting. I do apologize for that. I hope you agree that I'm apologize for that. You know, I don't wanna burp in your ear. Though, if you've been listening to the Overnightscape for a while, that was not the first time that happened, obviously. You know what I mean? So, yeah, we got a bunch of stuff coming up here. Let me take a look. So, What's coming up next is a block of audio from. Let me just do something here. A lot of stuff I recorded last month in June, and
hold on 1 second here. I'm trying to
hold on. Okay. Last month I did a lot of, you know, field trips in New York City where I have my portable recorder, my Edirol RO9, and I'm walking around New York City and I'm just recording as I'm going around. And my intention is that this stuff now goes to the underground. It's not really in the regular show anymore. So what we have is three pieces, and there's four tracks, totaling about 9.5 hours. Yes. Of me in New York City. So it's a lot of good stuff. This is not like place sounds. It's all stuff where I'm talking and interacting with things and everything. So it's not like a place sounds is more like just the ambient noise of something. This is a lot of good stuff, okay? And starts off, the next track you're going to hear is going to be Fairy Math Part 1. I recorded this June 11th and 12th, which was Friday and a Saturday. What? No, yeah, June. I'm looking at July, yes. No, it's not. June 11th and 12th was a Wednesday and a Thursday. It seems like I usually wind up recording on a Wednesday and a Thursday for some reason. It's like very random. All of these are like on a Wednesday. And I didn't plan it that way. It just sort of happened. Maybe like on Wednesday I feel inspired to record. I only do this stuff when I do this stuff when I feel like doing it. I'm not forcing myself to do these kind of recordings. So Fairy Math is a two-part piece. It's it is
two tracks. Each track is
2 hours and 9 minutes or so. So hold on 1 second. So Fairy Math, it's F-E-R-R-Y, like a ferry boat. Fairy Math in two parts is 4 hours and 19 minutes long. That was kind of a long one, you know. Hold on a second here. Yes. And then we have... Yeah, so Fairy Math Part 1 and 2. And let me tell you about Fairy Math, okay? And yeah, so June 11th and 12th. The first day, you know, I'm walking around doing all sorts of different stuff. And then I wind up going to the Telectroscope, which is this very cool thing in Brooklyn. It was an art display, and you'll hear all about it, which was like this steampunk like tunnel through the earth from New York to London, and you could look through and see these people in London and stuff. I went there with Nancy from work over there to Brooklyn by the Brooklyn Bridge, and we saw the Telectroscope. It's long gone now, by the way. You know, it was only there for like a couple weeks. Long gone. Sorry, you can't get to it anymore. Other than time travel, of course, blah, blah, blah. If you have time travel, let me know. I'd like to do some time traveling too, you know. Have to check out the New York World's Fair, you know, both of them. That'd be good to go to. Oh man, these Fritos are nasty. I shouldn't even have eaten any of them. They're so expired. Anyway, that's Fairy Math. And then the next day, I left work and I decided to walk all the way from. I work on 46th Street and like 3rd Avenue. I decided to walk all the way down to Pier 11 by Wall Street to take the ferry boat home. It was like over a two-hour walk. And very surprised, like an adventure, you know. Very surprising what I found on my walk and stuff. I went to many places I had never been to before. So walked down sort of on the eastern side of Manhattan all the way down to Pier 11. And then on the ferry boat ride over to Hoboken. So that's Fairy Math. And again, in two parts, part one and part two, each is about 2 hours and 9 minutes, 2 hours, 10 minutes, at that kind of range. Part one, 209.53. Part two, 209.29. And yes, my favorite number is 209, but that sort of was just random. I kind of had to cut it in half, right? Because my 4 hour file is a little much for my processing systems here, so that's that. Then, the next piece is called Libraries Guarded. Yes, Libraries Guarded. Like apostrophe S, like the library is guarded. Libraries Guarded is the name of the next piece. 2 hours, 41 minutes, and it's from June 18th and 19th, which again was a Wednesday and a Thursday. I'm just noticing this now, these patterns that are emerging here. June 18th and 19th. And that one, I don't know. I was walking around talking about more stuff. I don't know. At one point, I actually tried going into the New York Public Library, because I have this weird thing about it. I've never gotten in there, the one on Fifth Avenue and 42nd Street. And it was like all guarded and weird, so I didn't even go in. That's part of why it's called Libraries Guarded. But then I also was talking about kind of, you know, one of the themes I talk about a lot, which is the how the world is a lot more secret than you think it is, right? For some reason, there's this sense that it would be hard, it's hard to keep things secret, right? Like, you know, you hear about this, like a conspiracy, like, you know, that they faked the moon missions. Like, I love that conspiracy. I love talking about it, and I've done a lot of research on it. I do think that those Apollo moon missions were faked, as I've talked about a million times on the show. So, people say someone would talk. It'd be so hard to keep it secret. But what I'm trying to say is, and as you'll hear me talk about extensively on there, secrecy, everything is obscured. Like, anything that happens, right, immediately is shunted into the past, right? Everything that happens immediately becomes the past. We don't have time travel yet, and you can't see the past. So immediately, everything that happens is immediately obscured by time, right? And in terms of space, each of us at any given time can only see a tiny sliver of the whole world. Like right now, I'm just seeing the Overnight Escape studio. I don't see anything else. Everything is obscured to me now. And everything that's happening right now is also receding into the past and being obscured by time. So, I mean, for things are naturally secret. Everything is naturally secret unless an effort is made for one person to reveal things to other people. Like, you know, you talk to other people, you talk about things, and unfortunately we rely on a news media to tell us things. If that method is compromised, for example, if the mainstream media, the news media is not honest, if they're liars, for example, we're in a lot of trouble because we base our reality on what they say. So anyway, that's that theme, and I think it's something that took me a long time to kind of realize. You know, it's obvious, but it's a very scary thing. But I don't see it as much as scary. I see it as the world really is a much more interesting place because so much stuff is hidden. So much more stuff is hidden than you would normally think, right? So that's one of the theories in there, and a lot of stuff. Finally, right, we get to the Berlin Wall, which is I recorded on June 25th. That was a one-day piece, the Berlin Wall. And these are days I'm going to work, so what I'll do is I'll record in the morning, like as I'm walking over to work in New York City, then during my lunch hour, and then after lunch going home. So 2 hours, 28 minutes, just in one day. And again, another Wednesday. What is this Wednesday thing? That's funny. But then I didn't record. Did I record anything on July 2nd? No. Well, you'll see. I recorded a lot that next weekend. Anyway, the Berlin Wall, it's called that because there's a reason, you'll see. Because I actually encounter a piece of the original Berlin Wall, which is in a park in New York. Sorry, I keep hitting myself with the microphone. What's my problem? So these four pieces, three pieces, if you want to say fairy math, is divided into two parts. 9.5 hours. I'm going to play all this right now, coming up in a moment. All of the four of those pieces, one after the other. And then I'll be back after that. Well, it'll be me on all these things, but then me here in Underground, the UG Underground track, will be back after that. And just to let you know, following that, as you may have already seen if you're looking ahead on the notes and stuff, the Motor Excursion Ruffians, number 4. And talk about a long show. We recorded this back on Saturday, June 28th. Me and Peter Litke, my good friend Peter, who was on the show, he was in Bublin A. Richardson, all this stuff. And I think Bublin A. Richardson, that's got to be coming up soon on the Underground as well. It's like an audio drama series I did. We'll get more into it. You may have already heard it. It was also on the Overnight Escape. A lot of stuff. All right. Well, anyway. We have this occasional program we do called the Motor Excursion Ruffians. And this was number 4. We went on an adventure to Governor's Island to an arts festival called Figment. And the final tally, because my whole theory is I don't edit. I don't do any editing. Whatever I record, that's what I release. And as I'm recording it, I have that in mind, right? I'm not I'm sort of editing it as I go along. I'm producing it as I go along. So I don't do any editing. If I needed to do any editing, nothing would ever get done. But this piece wound up being 10.5 hours long, the longest show ever. If you consider one show, right, one particular, like I know the Overnight Skip Underground is sort of like a show that just keeps going on and on, but one particular episode of a kind of show, that was the longest. And I'm going to talk more about it. I'll be back before that, and we'll talk about it. But I split that one up into 13 parts. Because obviously, you don't want to, I kind of don't want to have one 10.5 hour file. And, I during the recording of it, we talked about having 13 parts, and it kind of worked out. So, and I was listening to some of it today, and it's actually really good. I really was enjoying listening to the parts of it. So you'll hear all about that and the other Motor Excursion Ruffians and where they are. One of them is on a cassette tape in my closet, and hopefully it's okay because it's not on the computer yet. And I will have to be working on that as well. Anyway, so a lot of great stuff coming up. But anyway, right now we're going to hear Fairy Math Part 1, Fairy Math Part 2, Libraries Guarded, and The Berlin Wall. 9.5 hours of good stuff. And, check it out at your leisure. Of course, if you want to fast forward and check out the Motor Excursion Ruffians, this is the underground. You can do what you like. And part of the reason I felt it was okay to do a 10.5 hour show is that it's the underground. You know? No longer is this like, hey, I have a radio transmitter and I'm transmitting and we have to keep everything short and sweet so people don't tune out. No. This is a new kind of thing. It's completely open. It's completely endless in its capacity. But I think you'll enjoy these pieces. They're all quite good. Anyway, here we go. We're going to start off with Fairy Math. And then we are going to move on to the other ones. And I'll be back after the Berlin Wall. Here we go. Get ready for Fairy Math. It is coming in a moment. Here it is.